Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars, and witches in history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers. You've been warned. My name is Jane, and I am the top girl.
I was just going to say, my name is Linda, and this week I am the head cheese. I'm a prefect.
It was really hard not to mention any of that in any of my notes, but today we are covering the first episode of season two of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We're getting back into this.
Yay!
Which I will start out by saying this was probably the best season. Of the four they did, this is probably the best season. I'm not saying it goes completely downhill. There's probably people who have also watched the whole series and know exactly what I'm talking about, but I think that this is probably one of the best ones. So, yeah. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, it really felt unfinished. And I know that they have, you know, there's already talk about a comic book continuing it. So that's all I can hope for right now.
Kind of like Buffy style.
I can't give anything away. You'll have to judge yourself when we get to the ending. It's just one of those things where it's like, is this really what you intended? Or were you canceled and had to rush through the rest of the episodes? Like, I'm keeping track of stuff of like things, like storylines that I feel like they never fully fleshed out or finished. So gotcha. I have like an entire list of that. Anyways, we're talking about one of the best seasons, in my opinion. Because we got a lot of stuff happening.
And didn't you say that they were that I'm gonna have to fucking watch Riverdale again?
Okay, so here is what I have gathered. and the blogs and everything have basically been talking about this. It looks like this is pre-Sabrina signing her name in the book.
Oh.
Because she's got that nice long blonde hair, not the white one that she gets at the end, where, you know, part of signing her book also requires her to go in for a makeover.
Makeover. Sorry.
But yeah, no, she has like this like really like nice long blonde hair she kind of had in the first season. So they're thinking that in the timeline of Riverdale and Sabrina, which I guess Riverdale I haven't watched in a while because I've been super busy. I will catch up though. It's in my little gathering of things to do. Is Riverdale had a 5-year time jump, so they're no longer 20 somethings playing high schoolers. They are now officially 20 somethings.
Oh, really?
So yeah. I've got a small child who's just come down to get some water. Don't worry. Husband's helping. I was like, bounce, bounce, bounce. So if you hear that, sorry, Donnie. Sorry, listeners. Anyways.
Do you think that it had anything to do with Luke Perry passing? Or
No, it didn't. They actually, if you're going to watch any episode of Riverdale, watch that one. Because it's a very, very, very sweet send-off because it plays true to the character that he portrayed as Archie Andrews' dad. And it just, the ending is just really beautiful and just absolutely touching. You know, because it's, yeah, it was a good episode. Like, it was clearly something that he wrote from the heart. And I believe Shan Doherty shows up as a really, like, great character to also contribute to the send-off and stuff. Yeah, you should watch it. It really steps away from its batshit crazery teenage detective novel stuff to honoring this person's life as this character. It's really good. Yeah, if you watch anything that's of Riverdale, sweet. If you don't want to go back, just at least watch that one because it's a very, very sweet thing. And yeah, they handled it well. They handled it better than a lot of other shows have handled people who've died.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So if you're going to do that, but it has nothing to do with that because that's like that takes place like a season before the whole time jump. So yeah, they just recently did the time jump. But yeah, that's my idea. That's what I so far know about Riverdale, but I haven't watched the most recent season. So
yeah. I just realized that the makeover thing I was doing was from Clone High, but Luke Perry was in an episode of Clone High too. So I'm thinking about that. He was Ponce de Leon. Okay. He's the coolest guy. But I was just thinking about, oh, I made a connection like unintentionally.
Yeah. Look at you. I'm just
Rip Luke Perry. I heard that like everybody pretty much just loved him.
Oh yeah, no, everybody who at least in the cast of Riverdale, everybody was just like, oh yeah, he was like really supportive, absolutely lovely, you know. Just nobody had anything bad to say about him. So,
which is kind of almost unheard of when like, well, he wasn't a child star, but like he started in his young 20s.
He was a he was a teen heartthrob though, and that can really go to your head sometimes, I think.
Oh, and he was, there's another connection there. He was in the movie of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Which I'm not exactly keeping track of my Luke Perry thing. I never watched Now 210. I was too young for it or just didn't care about those shows. So it never.
It was like, I was the center of their demographic, like age-wise. And I remember they had like Barbie dolls for all the 90210 characters, but Donnie and I were never really watching things that people our age were or kids our age were. So
I think we just had this conversation off mic when I said like I used to watch Rugrats. Like, yeah, I was kind of out of that demographic. And I'm just like, you're not that much older than me, Linda.
I was watching Real Sex on HBO, Taxi Cab Confessions, and Manuel in Space, Faces of Death.
I'm just imagining your parents like, look, they're being quiet, okay? They may be traumatized out of their mind, but they're being quiet, so let them be.
I think that was pretty much it, yeah. But it's funny because my parents actually, especially my dad, they like really got into 90210. They loved it. like, I think I there were a couple times in my life where I tried to be quote unquote normal. And so I tried to get into it. And all that happened was my dad got into it. So.
I have no comment to that. I'm like, okay. Because I have no clue of the characters. I just know there was, you know, like high teenage drama. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a soap opera, really. And my parents loved soap operas. They love their soaps. So I don't
see. I feel like I
don't get it.
I feel like I almost got into the realm of soap opera, like when I started to watch Riverdale, and then it got more bonkers than any soap opera I've ever seen. I'm like, okay, never mind. Now I get it. This is just odd.
Never seen Passions then?
Nope, I have not.
You want to talk bonkers?
I can do bonkers. It looks like same with Nancy Drew. It's like, you know what? We're just gonna go crazy and be supernatural. Got it. Not the show Supernatural, just have supernatural elements.
I haven't watched the new one either, and I'm sorry, I've kind of just derailed us.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, we could talk about Luke Perry for like 10 minutes and see if anybody's still listening when we're trying to talk about Sabrina.
Back in my day.
I mean, like I said, this is probably, like I said, the best season of the four. They could have probably had much more seasons than this, but Netflix is bullshit sometimes.
Yeah. But then, and sometimes they have those shows that it's like, wait, why is this a thing?
Yes.
Like, was it Yummy Mummies or something? Something like that.
I thought we were referencing Tiger King. Okay. I thought you were referencing Tiger King. Like, yes, why was this a thing? And yeah.
You know, I was thinking about Tiger King today because I was wondering if Nicolas Cage is still signed on to play him.
I thought
that's still a thing.
I thought there was like a legal issue with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the one thing that the best response I ever heard from somebody regarding Tiger King, and they also they're from the South, and they're like, oh yeah, no, this a lot of this makes sense. They're like, look, the only thing this show is missing is the amount of meth everybody's doing.
Yes,
I'm like, yeah, yep, that sounds about right.
Well, Carlo's from Florida, and so
yeah, he's like, I knew people like this.
Yeah, and like, and it was just something that like his zoo, whatever you would call it, was like something that they would drive past.
Yeah, it's that's my understanding of that. I was like, okay, yep, now everything makes sense now, and I had no interest in watching because like I think my husband turned on like one episode, just like what the big deal was. And mm-hmm. I think we both left with the idea of, there's a lot of drug use. They're not filming right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? Like, I'm doing it again.
So, yeah, we are. It's okay. Again, 11 minutes not talking about the show, but it's okay.
Really quick, though.
We're catching up.
I looked it up and yeah, it looks like it's not, at least it's not on his Nicolas Cage's IMDb thing. So yeah, I think it must have fallen through.
I would have assumed that there was probably somebody in that group of characters of the, you know, the original subject matter who sat there and complained about the idea of their life being dramatized. And yeah,
that would
be my assumption. I'm speculating.
Yeah, it looks like Amazon actually decided to do away with it, to drop it, because the obsession over Joe Exotic is just kind of diminished.
Oh, yeah. I mean, although there is going to be a second season, so who knows? Again, like I said, I Netflix, why? This was a much better show, and if you had let it kind of, especially the fourth season, if you had let it just grow and, you know, progress in the fashion it clearly was trying to go in the first couple episodes of fourth season, I think less people would have been pissed at the ending. For certain reasons. Obviously, there are other reasons about the ending. I understand why people are pissed, and I completely agree with them. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because, again, Linda has not seen it. I'm just happy because there's one thing in particular we could actually start talking about, because my notes have written down the correct thing in my head, but I have not been able to say the correct thing because it would be a spoiler. So, like with Lilith, it was going to be a goddamn spoiler.
Aww.
Yes. So, anyways, we can start with the description of the episode, because we've got Sabrina, at the end of the season, she's got her hair done. She's friends with the sisters and everything. And Prudence knows that Blackwood is her father. And,
I'm happy seeing the three of them being friends.
Oh, yeah. No,
or at least, allies.
Yeah, they're closer to allies. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of back and forth on this, but Prudence is going to grow. Like, if you love Prudence in the first season, Prudence is going to become your top girl.
And how can you not?
Oh, yeah. No, I love her character. I love the actress who plays her so much. But yeah, so they're friends, but Sabrina's doing her whole entire thing of being cagey. Like when she's saying, like, I'd rather just devote all my time to the academy and everything. And yes. I'm just like, guys, you know how she lies. Maybe she's not lying, but she's clearly doesn't want to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And only Hilda notices it. Like, everyone else is like, good, good. And Hilda's like, you sure? You positive? Everything okay?
Yeah, I think she's trying to, like, convince herself, like, lying to herself, I guess. Like, just kind of making the best of a crap sandwich.
Well, and gets into this in later episodes, but, she knows that what she is also dangerous, especially when you've got Satan on your back or Lucifer on your back, so.
And saying that he's going to ask you to do something, eventually someday. And it's not going to be like, I need you to watch my kittens for me while I'm on vacation. Kitten watching? All right.
You get in there, the kittens are like 20 feet tall, and the litter box is like the size of a football stadium.
That would probably be how I would die. Like, I'd be going, kitty! And that'd be my last word.
Although I do love the Zelda trying to come up with an excuse for the school, being like, we'll just say you have scarlet fever. And I'm like,
I love that.
Zelda, what century is this? Let's talk. We need to talk about stuff.
Yeah, I'll just tell them you have a scarlet fever and you should be back in 2 weeks. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, see,
this is kind of full of a lot of those, like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you've also got a couple other things, like Zelda is now one of the teachers, and all the teachers hate her because they.
Yes.
Because they know.
Especially Sister Jackson, who. Okay, I'm going to say how I have this in my notes. Sister Jackson looks like the stick went a little further up her ass. Zelda helps calm the crying wee baby Judas with reflexology. And Daddy Blackwood calls her a hellsend. And then Sister Jackson's stick is like now poking her brain. Because she's just looking at her like, what? You could tell, like, she's not pleased.
No. No, and not going to talk about all this stuff. Because, like, these teachers are kind of, they become sort of inconsequential after a while. So it's, like, the next episode, there's a little bit more, but then it's, like, meh. So
I figure they're just kind of plot devices to say, like, hey, like, the people in the coven who Daddy Blackwood has to work with, like, alongside almost every day, like, these people are judging him, and they want to see him, like, have the proper mourning period.
It's a combination of that, but also I think it's just jealousy. I mean, for all you know, you know, Witch Jackson was basically like, I want to be the one in his bed and gain to, you know, move in with the Blackwood family. So it could be any of those things.
Well, and also we have to remember that, like, Z was kind of like, okay, so Z, like, says that she's happy to return to teaching at the academy. And, you know, since they're... her brother, Sabrina's father, was the headmaster,
the high priest.
The high priest, father, Spellman. But then he, you know, quote unquote, disgraced the family, whatever, by marrying a mortal woman. So I think of it like, you know, the witches in the coven are like, okay, here's this bitch from a disgraced family who's just sleeping her way up the chain. And now she's getting power just because, you know, with her puny, basically.
There's definitely that. It's like I said, I'm trying not to reveal too much. So I'm just like,
like, she should know her place, type of thing. Yeah.
But, because you've got, like, a couple things going on. You've got Sabrina heading back to the academy. You've got Harvey, Roz, and, yeah. And for now, Susie talking. Yes. Susie talking just about, like, have you seen Sabrina? You know. Working, and Roz is probably like the most understanding. She's like, no, she's got a lot of stuff to work through, and it's again Roz just perfect friend, knowing like, hey,
she really
give her some space, let's work, gotta get her to work through this and everything.
And this was like one of the upcoming lines was like made me actually, there were a couple ones, but this, like, one of them was the first moment where I was like, yay. I actually said it out loud. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, and Harvey's also mentioned that his dad's doing better since the eggnog, that he's going to try out for basketball team, and his dad's finally acknowledging he has a second son, and he's playing basketball magic with his son.
The term magic eggnog kind of made me giggle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know what he's talking about, but still, like, I don't know. Like, I would like some magic eggnog right about now, too.
I was going to say, to forget all of your troubles.
Some giggle potion, if you will.
But so, yeah, Harvey says he's going to try for basketball. And Susie's like, yeah, I want to try, too. And
yeah.
I have no idea why exactly you're laughing. So
I'm just like, I'm so giddy. Okay, so Roz says, but there's only a boys basketball team, Suze. Uh-huh. And she says, yeah. So, and I was like, yes.
I'm so glad this made you happy, because you have no idea for how long I've been sitting. I have written their name the correct way over and over again in my notes, and I've had to make corrections to myself and try not to spoil anything.
Well, that was already spoiled for me.
Well, I know, but not because... for the podcast as well.
Yeah, I hear
you. I know it was spoiled for you when you looked up some IMDb and you're like, oh, anyways, Susie, what we're talking about, yeah. Might as well just say it now, is Susie is Theo.
Yeah, she announces that he is now Theo.
Yes, he goes by Theo. There's going to be some issues going down the line, and it's going to be addressed more, but Harvey try out for basketball, and I gotta give Theo some credit for trying, but man, first off, that coach is a bitch. But
totally.
Even then, it's like I understand where the limitations are when you've got, like, at the very least, like, a bunch of boys who are at least over 6 feet, and you're a 4'9" boy, and it's like that's a challenge. Like, in general,
yeah.
Like, the shortest basketball player in the world. In the professional league, I should say, in the professional NBA, I believe was 5'3". And wow. That was, I think, back in the 80s. So it's like, because you got these monster people. And even then, you see that when Theo's trying out, and that one douchebag jock, like, just body checks him.
Yes.
And first off, that would have been a foul. That would have been a total freaking foul. That would have been called out in 5 seconds. But yeah, like, even then, it's a challenge. And again, it's not that anybody doesn't, people don't do it. But again, there is a reason why a lot of basketball players are usually a universal height. Because there is a lot of, like, there's a lot of different strategy that has to go into that when you're competing against that much of a differentiation. But
I was thinking the coach is being like a total cunt, but at the same time, it's like he does have somewhat of a good point of like that Theo, although Theo's not Theo just yet. That for the time being, she is only 4 feet tall and can't dribble. And it's like, okay, if this were just any guy, even like, let's say, 5'6" tall guy who can't dribble, it's still going to be like, I don't think so. These are tryouts. Sorry, you can't dribble. You're not making it on the team. Sorry.
Yeah, and we don't really know. Because, I mean, like, the issue that I had with that is that Sabrina obviously comes and helps Theo make all the baskets and everything. And, yeah, obviously, like, what Sabrina sees is, you know, that jerk, like, body checking Theo and pushing them to the ground, which I completely understand, but it's kind of hard to judge the skill level then, the actual skill level. Because, yes, in normal tradition, if you've got somebody trying out for a basketball team and they can't dribble and can't shoot and can't even guard or anything, it's like, yeah, it's anybody would have not made it. And, of course, Sabrina helps and everything. But it's – so it feels a little disingenuous at times. But at the same time
– yeah, and, like, she kind of, like – helped Theo cheat, and I was thinking, like, Okay, so there's absolutely, you know, I understand the coach's concerns, but at the same time, like, you know, you didn't have to be such a cunt about it.
Oh yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I'm seeing Sabrina help Theo cheat, and I'm like, at the same time, like, yeah, good for her, show them. But then I'm thinking, like, okay, what the fuck are they gonna do when Sabrina's not there? And they're like, wow, what the hell happened? You can't like make the easiest shot in the world. You can't dribble. Like, still, like, you suck really bad. What is happening?
Welcome to a lost plot point is all I'm gonna say. yeah, that doesn't really come back or explained. It's like suddenly
kind of like a Teen Wolf thing.
Well, it's like suddenly Theo's just good from here on out, or like is like yeah, you'll see as it goes. It is one of those things where I'm just like, I don't remember Theo getting better. So either like that was like some really hardcore like bullying that made them nervous, and they're actually really good at basketball, or something worked out well. But yeah, that's what it's. Again, it's a really great sign of Sabrina still meddling and trying to help her friends and trying to fight injustice, which also Miss Wardwell, still Lilith secretly, but, you know, disguised as Miss Wardwell, who's now the principal and is throwing her weight around in badassery ways, comes in there and says, you know, like, no. Miss Putman's going to participate, and there's no separation of boys and girls. It's like, cool. And didn't even take Sabrina to convince them. Like, Sabrina wasn't even there. It was Roz and Harvey going in there and saying, like, hey.
I thought that Wardwell was actually going to do something to, because you could tell she was like, once the coach was just saying, like, she's a girl and, you know, it's a boys team. And she's looking like, I'm going to fucking show you, bitch. You know, like, she's like, you can see the gears moving in her head and she's chewing gum, which she just, like, she just got.
Well, she already made the one kid swallow it. So,
I mean, yeah. But, really quickly, and I know this is a little off topic, but, listeners, I am not a sports ball person. Guessed, I don't know most of the time. I don't know what the fuck is going on in sports. I can enjoy like roller derby and hockey, but I still don't know most of the time about like the rules or anything like that. But anyway, I went to the Grace Hopper celebration this year, as I have for the last 2 years. And one of the keynote speakers there was a WNBA basketball player named Laishia Clarendon. And I was thinking that I was like, oh, basketball, sports ball. Once again, I'm like, ball. I could skip that one. Yeah. Like,
is that one you push on the ground over and over again with your hands? Is that the one that like guys throw and run at each other and smash into each other? And this is one that just stays on the ground with your foot. Is how I imagine you organizing balls. Oh, and then there's the one with the bat and the thingy and the wood stick.
this one, you get the ball and the thing, and then try to make sure that the other person doesn't get the ball and the thing.
I like the fact that you just said you get the ball and the thing, and I'm like, you just described like three sports at least.
I know.
You just said three major like, professional sports exactly. Right now. Others a little bit differently, but yes.
but this person is it's Laishia Clarendon, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, but they are just, if listeners, if you're not familiar with them, check them out. They are amazing. Like, they have really gone against the odds and really they're a very spectacular moving person. And they've really dealt with a lot and, you know, sports ball. Linda, no get. But like after hearing their keynote speech, I was just like, oh, Captain, my Captain. You know, like, I was totally moved. And I was like, holy shit, this is the most badass person I've had the pleasure of listening to for a while. So really, check it out. Check out Lashia Clarendon. They're an amazing person to watch. They have come out as trans, and I think just recently become married. So, they were named the WNBA All-Star, and helped them, win the gold in the, World Championship. So really check them out. Just do yourself a favor, check them out. Just amazing person all around. But okay, sorry.
Back to the show.
Back to the track.
Anyway, so we probably should also get back to Sabrina's at the school, and they've had their first assembly, mm-hmm. and Father Black was like, okay, we must name Top Boy, to which my only note about that was Top Boy versus Bottom Boy.
I was thinking Bottom Bitch.
And I guess like top, and there's only a top boy. There's no top girl. This isn't Hogwarts where you have like a head boy or head girl. No, there's just Top Boy. And they nominate Nicholas Scratch, who is the, you know, is
Nick,
hardcore Nick. Flirting with Sabrina, of course. And and of course, Sabrina's all like, well, why is it just boys? Like, why mm-hmm. can't a girl? And Nicholas Scratch, to his credit, nominates Sabrina because he wants a little competition and he's trying to score brownie points, but still.
And get in her panties.
Honestly, and I'll, you know, for a lot of stuff that's going to happen with his character, I will still defend him as actually being probably one of the more progressive males of this school. So
no, he's a good person. He's done good things so far.
Yeah, no, it's, you're Nick, just like a lot of the characters, they're going to have some roller coaster moments, but yes, mm-hmm. I like Nick. Nick's good.
Basically Sabrina comes in and she says, top boy, top that, and goes into
Jesus
a rap.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
She gets in a rap battle with Nick. She's like, why would I ever give up about trying to top that? Top that. Stop that.
For fuck's sakes. I still talk when I mentioned that movie to people about one of the worst things I had to do for the podcast. That movie comes up and I have to explain to somebody not only about that scene but about just all the problems with that movie. Just how god awful it was. I told a coworker that and she started laughing in my face because she was like, this cannot be real. And I said, oh no, it freaking is.
It is.
She's like, that sounds awful. I'm like, it was.
If you ever watch 30 Rock, there's one, I wish I could remember what episode it was, but I squealed with delight when I saw it a couple years ago because Ken was trying to distract the audience for a little while. I can't remember why. But then, like, they come to Ken and he says, like, and that's my rendition of Teen Witch's Top That. I was like, oh my god, I want to see it now. Like, why are you doing this to me? But I'm sorry. Yes, yeah, so rap battle and
no, they don't. They have to do these different it's basically more like they have to do three different tests. One of them is kind of like a Trivial Pursuit type thing. Another one is home ec. And then the last is Conjuring. So I'm just going to, yeah, that's kind of how I broke it down when I was watching it. But before that, of course, Sabrina's like going off to hit the books because the first test is, you know, kind of like a, like I said, a witch trivia thing, like Jeopardy or like any sort of like debate where they ask you a question and you have to answer. It's basic stuff. And of course, Sabrina's going off to study and, but she finds out that all the boys, including, you know, Nick, got invited to a celebration beforehand.
Night of debauchery.
Yes, with Salome, Which, if you guys don't know who Salome is, she was the one who demanded the head of John the Baptist in the Bible after doing a dance for Herod.
As we all do.
Yes. That's in her dance. That's what the whole... And then the end of the dance that she does for Nick, like, she brings her, like, a fake head that looks like Sabrina, and Nick is appalled at that. So,
it's
yes.
like a really bad fake head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on top of that, I was thinking, like, if that were me, I probably wouldn't be all offended. I'd probably be giggling hysterically. like, who made this? Is this a blow-up doll? What is happening?
This is what happens when you don't have arts and crafts as part of your lesson plan.
Like, is this a pleasure doll? What is happening? Like, I was
it's
promised
the reject
debauchery.
Pleasure doll. This is the go away pile. This is what they send home with the employees to be like, here, this is part of your bonus.
Oh my God. I want to do that for Christmas presents now. Or for Krampusnacht.
I was going to say, I'm confused about what you're going to do for Christmas presents now, and I don't want one. You can leave mine under the tree at your house indefinitely.
Pleasure head, kind of, sort of resembling Sabrina.
Oh, I don't boy. Want this. But and at the same time, while the boys are, you know, being entertained, Sabrina is attacked by Asmodeus, is a demon that was summoned and sends plague rats to her until she was able to banish him. So it's clearly somebody's after her. And again, this is one of those things where it's like, I know who they are. I know what they're doing. I cannot say anything. Because she's attacked by three. One with the plague rats, one with birds, and then one with flies.
Asmodeus has the rats. Mm-hmm. And which, let me say, for as long as I can remember, I have wanted the ability to either summon rats or turn into rats. And so he summoned a bunch of rats, and I'm like, yeah!
Plague rats. Let's be really
living my dream.
I wanted to be a dinosaur. You wanted to be a rat. I mean, whatever.
I mean, everybody has their own dream. There's Asmodeus with the rats. There's Person with the
birds.
Birds, yeah.
Beelzebub has the flies.
Yeah, he's the Lord of the Flies.
Yes,
but Asmodeus.
Yes.
Asmodeus says, I bring you tidings of filth. And I was like, like, ooh, does Sabrina get debauchery too? And then he says, and disease. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, well, lame.
And real quick, we should probably mention that there's some other stuff going on because with the school. Because Prudence is pissed at Blackwood. He won't let her take his last name, even though she is related to him. And he's admitted it.
He's been forced to admit it now. So.
Oh, yeah. And she's basically been in charge of taking care of her little brother.
She says, like, I'm even something like, even though you treat me like a wet nurse, I am not a wet nurse. Like,
yeah.
I've got shit to do, basically. Like,
I got my
I should
own
be
studies.
Studying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a teenage girl.
Yeah, and she wants the Blackwood name. She wants to be actually treated like his daughter because, oh, she is.
I mean, to be fair, and I think we've said this when it came to the female baby that... Zelda took with her. I think that we're actually getting a firsthand look at pretty much how Blackwood would have treated any daughter. Yeah. I honestly don't think, even with Prudence's quote-unquote bastard-like status, I don't think he honestly would have given a shit either way. So,
no.
Yeah, that's my two cents on the matter. But, you know, she's pissed at Blackwood. She has her own problems, and... When she hears that Sabrina's having some issues. They help because she didn't get a chance to study for this first task. They do a spell that basically kind of gives like a phone in for kind of like a connection so that any question that Blackwood asks Sabrina, the Weird Sisters can
look up. Basically, can look up.
Well, and also, I mean, we also forgot to mention Prudence, after Nick nominated Sabrina, Prudence seconded it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Like,
it's, and she's asked, like, Father Blackwood, like, could I ever be a head boy, or could I be the high priestess?
Yeah, what if I tried to stand for it? And he's like, I wouldn't let you embarrass yourself like that or something. Like,
yeah, or embarrass yourself or the family like that.
Yeah, so it's like you're only family when it could hurt you, but you're not family in any other capacity. So yes, Prudence is pissed, which I get. And it's really great because, you know, because when the trivia thing comes up, but you know, Father Blackwood asks this question of Nick, and then he asks this question of Sabrina, and Zelda even says in the on-screen, like, not even I know that question. It's like, name like the three books or five books. It's like, not even I know that. And of course, through the connection, she's able to read it off. But then he starts asking other interesting questions where I'm just like, okay, I know when the Salem witch trials were. I know about I didn't know about the Rasputin thing. Rasputin. But once it says, like, how did he die? It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they really wanted him dead. I remember that way. It's like, wrong. It's like, poison, shot, beheading. Like,
dude wouldn't die.
I mean, I think there's a lot of speculation on that. But I do remember that was always the theory on, like, he just would not die. He's also got injured multiple times before that. So it really was one of those things like, why aren't you dying?
He is a fascinating and rich history. I mean, I think we should go into him sometime.
Just that for kicks. Better. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, as a side note to the Patreon, which I think is now in my hands, and I just have to actually push the button and say yes.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay. It needs to be in my... I mean, putting it in my hands is totally fine on me saying, go ahead. I've just been sort of hesitant because I'm like, I don't... Side note to all of us, hi listeners, sorry, but I'm not, I want to make sure that I feel like we're ready to then start doing what we're supposed to do. I don't want to like do something and be like, okay, it's up, and 4 months later we finally get something out. I would feel like shit. I really would. I really would feel like shit if that happened. Anyways, back to the show. One other thing I forgot to mention before the trivia thing is because Ambrose is being kind of a little lapdog to his blonde Hitler youth boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah, I called him an incel.
Oh yeah. Well, I think we saw them prod warlocks at one point.
Yes. So yes. I guess he's not an incel because he's getting it from Ambrose, but like still he's like he was saying something like there should, because she's Sabrina's saying like, can I can count on the both of you for your support to be top boy, right? And they're like,
well, Luke says
like, no, it can only be a boy. It's top boy, not top girl. Like, top that. And so she's like, oh, fuck you then. And I think like this whole episode's kind of got that theme of equality and like gender inequality.
Oh, the whole season. Yes. Mm. Trust me, the whole series. I mean, this is where it really just picks up on it, trust me. But this is the second season is definitely where it really nails into the fact that it doesn't matter what the religion is. It's the people in charge, in this case Father Blackwood, who is basically making it a, you know, strong patriarchy. So
and Aunt Z tells Sabrina, she says something like, well, top boys like a straight path, a path straight to the high priest.
Yep.
And so Sabrina's now like, well, even Aunt Z herself said, and Aunt Z's like, no.
We don't talk about what we say at home. God damn it.
But then he's like, there's only been a warlock as the, and so once again we get back to that worst witch, Tim Curry.
Yes.
the Grand High Wizard or whatever.
He went. That's actually where he went. Where he's like, I never another. He actually went to the debauchery show with Salome dancing. That was actually where he left to. We now know where he went.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed in Dorian's gray room.
So Sabrina wins the trivia thing. All's good. And then, of course, she's attacked by the next... the next demon.
Demon Lord.
Yes, the Demon Lord. And it's... Yeah, the birds. She has like a witch whistle, which is like their version of a rape whistle. Just like, to be fair, this is a more effective whistle.
Yes.
When you're all alone. My God. And it basically banishes him. And she comes back, and it's going to be kind of like potion making. And it's
I think they call it boil. And
yeah, boiling.
Trouble or something.
They call it
bubble and toil, I think.
Yeah.
Or toil and bubble. Yeah, because it's supposed to be like.
You throw a random
line from the Scottish play.
Yeah, you're supposed to toss an ingredient in there, say something, and the first person to turn it into a sludge is the loser, which unfortunately Sabrina does. Yeah,
the first person to make it not stable
to putrefy.
Yeah, they have to drink the whole putrefied potion.
Yeah, and Helda tries to help Sabrina because she was, like, I guess, top. And even, like, God, I hate him so much. Even Black was just like, since this is more of a female art, Sabrina will go first. I'm just like,
yes!
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's sort of like the womanly art. It's like, this is basically their version of home ec is what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's what I was like, since she should be barefoot and in the kitchen.
God. Black
Please
would
take
just
take our shoes off and start.
I know that in like the first season you just love all of the weird little intrigue
Blackwood.
Sentences that Zelda and Blackwood had to each other, and it was like my ovaries were just like collapsing in on themselves and my sex organs were all just shutting down. Now you're gonna figure out why I was feeling that way as this goes on, okay? You're gonna be seeing the same thing going like, I regret saying all that about Blackwood.
Well, and I think that the hard part for me is that I still kind of see him as the character from Coupling as well, too. So
that will fade. That will fade. He is such a despicable character. I hate him so much. Good actor. Good actor for making me hate you, by the way. Nothing against the actor.
Character
good actor.
That goes to the Isle of Lesbos because he thinks it's going to be a bunch of lesbians. Coupling. Anyway.
Good. That was a good show, too. But
yes. It was a great show.
But yeah, so Sabrina fails. She has to drink, and everybody's like, chug, chug, chug. And yeah. She puts out, and a lot of people cheer for her. So, like, so wait, she failed, but everybody's happy? Okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't understand because, like, she starts throwing up, as you would, and they're like, Sabrina, Sabrina. What?
Purge yourself. Purge yourself. Yeah. Okay.
I don't ever remember being at a party and throwing up and having people cheer
keep
for
cheering
me.
For you as you keep throwing up. Okay. Can I just say the cutest thing that after that scene that I absolutely love is Hilda coming in with Pepto in a vial.
Yes.
Not in a bottle that says Pepto on it. It's just the pink liquid that she decided to stick into a regular like vial. I'm like, I just
didn't.
Okay.
Was it Agatha some like Alka-Seltzer in a vial or something?
Yeah, she was faking that for her as well. But yeah, she
so
was
I'm
like
thinking maybe she's just like maybe that's how she stores them.
She's just like she smiles like ibuprofen, like crunches it up, just puts it into a vase. Going like, okay, and here's my secret formula. It's just aspirin with the A and the S scratched off. It's great stuff. Shout out to the birdcage on that one.
Yes.
The purine tablets. It's aspirin with the A and the S is scratched off. It's like,
Oh, that was fantastic. Oh God, yes. Oh, and it's such a small little thing, but another like giggle moment was toward the beginning. And oh God, I can't even remember what the hell he said before that. It's terrible. I know I should remember, but
and I was specifying which he at that point. I was like, what?
Well, Ambrose is like there. It's in the beginning, and Ambrose says something like, I can't. He makes some joke about somebody rising from the dead, and then he says, "Too soon for a resurrection joke." I'm like, yes, thank you. I love it when shows have those like little nods to the previous episodes where it's like, no, we didn't forget.
No, we remember really the exact thing you tried to do.
Yeah, exactly. So I loved that. I appreciated that.
Well, and because one thing, because after the whole the Pepto thing, Sabrina goes back to talk to go back to school. And, you know, see her friends. And that's when she's attacked by Beelzebub, who ties her up.
Her auntie really, like, helps her. She says, like,
yeah, go see your mortal
friends.
I have it
on good authority that Susie's trying out for the basketball team. And she says, but they don't have a girls basketball team. And she goes, I know. And I'm like, maybe you could support her.
And right after that, that's after the basketball team when... it's Theo now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And Roz and Harry are basically like, okay, Theo, and give him a hug. It's like, oh, thank you, best friends. So
yeah, that was my other like, yes moment.
Well, there's something I do want to bring up later on that I think is just, we'll talk about it in just a sec, but but right after like Sabrina sees that, and she gets all sort of mopey because she's just like, I can't be friends anymore with them. She leaves,
she doesn't overhear that. Oh, it's
no,
now Theo.
Yeah, no, it's not about Theo. It's just she's watching her friends like hug and like, you know, be friends, and you know, it's a life that she knew she would have to possibly give up. That's what's making her sad. So
she's basically seeing them being like, life is so great. Yay. Hugging time. Yay. She's like, I can't join them.
Yeah. To be fair, I understand. It's like, you know,
no, I totally get it.
You know, that was the life that she knew she'd have to possibly leave behind.
But they're all happy and life's continuing on without her.
Yeah.
Like that's the way, you know, she's seeing it.
Yeah. And that's when Beelzebub grabs her and dies her up in the boiler room, and you know, six flies on her, and then you know, Miss Wardwell in quotes comes down.
You saw
and,
her like casting spells to help out Susie / Theo.
Yeah, so Miss Wardwell comes down, saves her, and of course Beelzebub is like, wait, I know you, and she's like, I'm just Miss Wardwell, because like, we have to all remember Sabrina doesn't know who Miss Wardwell really is. She thinks that she's some like heretic witch and stuff who, you know, went against the teachings. So she's like, no, I'm nobody. Go away.
Beelzebub, I recognize thee and name thee Beelzebub. And he's like, yeah, I recognize you too. And she's like, banish. Like, what was that? Nothing. What? No? Huh? Like, he must know principles, huh?
Yeah, heretic witches. I'm sure my heretic witch name is all over the hellscape. Yeah, sure, totally.
You know, they got some weird hobbies in hell, you know? Some people like to study principles. I don't know.
Well, and they also point out, and that's when Miss Wardwell, they figure out that the three demons are actually the three kings of hell. Mm-hmm. So, because they look up in that book and everything, and they name them all. And it's supposed to be like this really, like, it's one of those things where it's like this is not something that a novice can summon. Because at first, like, Miss Wardwell tries to point the idea, it's going like, maybe there's a young man who's really good at conjuring, who's in competition with you.
Well, yeah, she finds out that she's going out for top boy. Against Nick Scratch, and who she's saying, like, she's like, well, don't you think that since he's in competition with you, can it just be him? And she's like, well, no, it can't be him. We're friends. And
She was something like, and what is he studying? Well, he's the best conjurer in the school. Oh.
Yeah. Conjure demons.
Yeah. So she confronts Nick Scratch and he's like, you know, I'm the best I'm the best conjurer in the school, but
as
I
a student,
do that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm a student,
but I couldn't even do that.
Yeah, this is like high level shit.
Yeah, he's like, at least not alone. And so then they were thinking, well, maybe it's Daddy Blackwood because he's so against her.
Her, just her, just yeah, against her. So period. Just her
again. Well, yeah, yeah, just her in general. Just her being.
Yeah, so they conjure the demons together because it's supposed to be like a conjuring circle and summon like the most powerful demon, but they join circles like the Wonder Twins. And they summon the three kings and demand that they confess to who summoned them. And even they're just like, no, not even like this puny high priest behind us summoned us. And that's when I think Father Blackbird got pissed because he's like, hey, I could summon you anytime I want. Like, you're banished before they could answer. It's like,
I kind of like his like little hand motions too.
Oh, yeah. His weird like little locking finger hand thing. He's like, you're banished.
Kind of like grinds his fist into his palm. You're like, banished. Or like, what is it? Asmodeus, I banish you. Person, I banish you.
Beelzebub, I banish you. It's like, okay. And like they were trying to like figure out who summoned them or who made them go after Sabrina. And it's, I feel like Black was only reason for doing that is just out of pure embarrassment that they're just like, no, we're not going to follow that dick behind us.
It's like, shut up.
Don't make fun of me.
I'm a powerful warlock. I have a Proud Boys group. What do you have? But then he gets all pissy and like calls them into his office
Sabrina God, and Nick. Father Blackwood calls Sabrina and Nick into his office and
Prudence is already there
because she's on baby duty because, you know.
Yeah. And for some reason, Luke and Ambrose follow.
Yeah, they're part of his little Proud Warlock group, so.
Yeah, his Proud Warlock entourage.
Yeah, it's, and of course, like, Father Black was, like, just pissed off at, like, Nick and Sabrina for joining forces.
Basically embarrassing him.
Oh, yeah.
In front of his whole coven.
I know. Fun of me. I'm gonna write about you in my live journal later. Such a burn.
Why are they so
just wait
to
see the second episode. Oh my god, the second episode. Oh my god.
Nobody understands me.
Oh, trust me. Second episode. Oh god, yes.
I just want warlocks to get the respect that they deserve. God.
Burn witches. You see any warlocks up there, did you? Well, sir, we didn't see them.
We didn't see them.
Well, he's also kind of pissed off because remember earlier, like, him and Zelda are like playing a game, and of course she wins. She beats him because she just, while they're talking, she's like, you know, I don't like the fact that everybody's talking about me. And because, you know,
the one with the stick up her ass, Sister Jackson, was saying something like, she calls her a wanton harlot, and Aunt Zelda's like, she's not gonna take that shit. So she's like,
well, she actually says,
excuse me?
Yeah, well, she actually says, button your lip or I'll button it for you, literally. Yeah, just, thank you. But yeah, she's just basically telling Blackwood, like, going like, look, what are we? I just need to know so that, you know, maybe we can calm these rumors. And Black was like, well, you know, there's that period of mourning and everything. And she's like, okay, well, you take your time to mourn, but until then, this is locked down.
Yes. She's like, but you know, we don't want the rumors to get any worse. We don't want to fan the fire. So no more flagellations. And
I'm totally thinking about your good name, Blackwood.
I'm just helping you.
Yes. So again, this is just off limits now.
So she's locking it down like a Greek play.
So he's kind of annoyed, I think, that he's not getting any anymore. So you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he, but anyways, back in the office, you know, Blackwood's pissed and, you know, Zelda, I know, is there. She's concerned on her own for her own niece and everything. But you know, Blackwood basically is just like, okay, well, neither of you could be head boy or whatever, or top boy. Ambrose, you're top boy. And it's like, yeah, so much for that whole voting thing, democracy idea that you had right there. Totalitarian dictator know. Much.
Oh, but it's funny because when he's talking about the process to become top boy in the near the beginning, when he says it's all followed by a vote, it's like vote is a four-letter word when he's saying it. It's like, and it's followed by a vote type of thing of like, fuck, like, why don't we just like try to kill these kids like the good old days? This led to a line that I don't know why it's so goddamn funny to me, but it is. And it's just one of those lines that like, I'm sure that it was not meant to be funny, but I don't know why I get a kick out of it. It's Ambrose doesn't even go to this academy.
Well, because that's such a Mean Girls thing. That's the line from Mean Girls.
Yes. Go to this school.
He's not even a student here. It's like, good point. But I mean, this is one of those, like, it's definitely one of those subtle moves that you see when you talk about things like cults or things like certain aspects of the alt-right. You do get these people who are finding lost, you know, in this case, men or boys who don't know what to do. And Father Blackwood has done a lot of good things for Ambrose, got it overturned so he can actually leave the, you know, Spellman property. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of like putting him on the path to be a high priest. He's giving these nice little things to be like, look, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. It's like, even though Ambrose could sit there and go like, shit doesn't smell right. Like even he will sit there and go like, yeah, it seems very weird. Like when he has like the argument with Sabrina early on in the room, and Sabrina's making the wind in the living room happen, and Ambrose is having a huge argument with her and is realizing that she's really pissed off and angry after being attacked for the first time. So, you know,
I think it's like, it's kind of like, to go with what you were saying, like to, like that sort of cult mentality of like, I'm just going to do this in increments and I'm going to worm my way into your life. And cause like in the first season, we discussed like how he, Ambrose was saying that, basically he's always kind of followed the father figures. Mm-hmm. And so I think Daddy Blackwood at that time was just kind of like, go on. Well, yeah, and he's just like slowly becoming that father figure for him. And so you could tell that he's building up to something.
Yeah, they're doing a different version of love bombing in a way, because that's another thing that certain groups do in order to make you feel welcome, is to just overpower you with acceptance and love and you know, like camaraderie and everything. And he's doing that to Ambrose. He's getting other people around him to do it to Ambrose as well. So
he's working the long con.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, this is definitely a long con. But yeah, so Ambrose is, you know, top boy. And we get to, we have Nicholas Scratch is basically going like, hey, Sabrina, why don't you just show me some mortal restaurants so we can like just go celebrate and stuff. It's like, dude, smooth.
Yeah.
Just smooth.
Let's hang out where those mortal kids hang out for a burger?
Yes.
Question mark.
Milkshake.
When he says, like, isn't there that place, was it Cyclops?
Yeah. Dr. Cerberus.
Like Cerberus.
And what's great is Roz and Harvey are there talking about Theo being Theo, and this Roz is explaining Theo now being Theo, and that Theo was always a boy. And even I actually wrote down it like, explain trans to me as if I'm Harvey. Explain it to me like I'm Harvey.
Oh my
God, you're so right.
Because he's like, oh, okay, now I get it.
I think we did establish in the first season that Harvey's like, my name Harvey. Like, Harvey do what now?
And honestly, like, it feels like that when it comes to certain things, because he will go along and he's very accepting. And he does have a certain degree. He obviously is not dumb.
His heart's in the good place. Yeah, his heart's. Like, there are a couple times where it's kind of like, Harvey's just a pawn in the game of life.
Harvey not been exposed to a lot of things in life. But yeah, just listening to Roz, I'm just like, okay. So yes, it's going to be a couple more explain it to me like I'm Harvey moments of the series.
But then she touches his hand to, because, oh, that's right, because he says something like, do you think Sabrina knew about Theo? And she says something like, who knows? And so she touches his hand kind of like in a reassuring way. And then she gets the cunning.
And sees a really hot makeout scene with Harvey happening in the school hallway.
Yes, it's like that slow, I'm going to take your glasses off and kiss you type of things, which, you know, now that, like, it was like a hot little makeout scene, but then at first, like, now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, why is that hot when, like, the guy takes off the glasses? Why? Why is that? Like, why do they do that?
I mean, to be fair, you don't want to bump into glasses, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't want you to see me this close. I don't look good at this angle.
You will see things up close that I do not want you to see. There's a magnifier in your glasses that I do not want you to have access to here.
I've just blinded you. Let's kiss. Oh, that's how Carlo got me. He actually threw sand in my eyes and then he kissed me. And I was like, oh my. Swoon.
He basically did the first grade thing they always tell girls in that horrible way. God, like, yes. He hits you and he likes you. Uh-huh, yeah, that's not at all problematic now.
No, God. Ugh.
Yeah. But yeah, and Sabrina catches Harvey and Roz having, you know, milkshake snacks together. And Nick's like, oh, it's a boyfriend. She's like, no, not X. Really. Yeah. Let's go someplace else.
You know, and what milkshakes lead to.
Well, it what's great is that Nick brings her to the place that is only for boys as Dorian comes up. She's like, Nicholas, dear. God, Dorian. Like, yeah, for fuck's sake, Dorian. He's like, we don't allow her kind in here. It's like, but I will make an exception because you guys are just so lovely or beautiful.
So beautiful, yes.
It's like, God damn, Dorian. And yes, it's that Dorian. Not, it's that Dorian.
Sabrina should be kind of like a little offended that she's not, you know, being like her kind or is not allowed there type of thing. But he says, like, because you're both beautiful, she's kind of like,
I mean,
I was thinking, like, okay, to be fair, I'd probably do the same thing.
I think she's kind of gotten used to it at this point. Where it's just like, well, yeah, this is what I've gotta deal with. And so they get their drinks, and Dorian does not poison Sabrina's, which is one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I trust a drink made by Dorian at this point. Like,
yeah,
I would be like, Nick, try this. Now try this other one. Okay, we're good. Fine. But, you know, she's fine. And then you go back to Lilith, who's a little annoyed because she's just like, hey, why are the Kings of Hell coming after Sabrina if I'm supposed to, like, protect her and everything? So, yeah, she summoned Lucifer, and Lucifer's coming in with this big, huge, like, you know, ram's demon's head and cloven hoofs and everything. And, yeah. And that's a... That's the show. Yeah.
She says something like, I'm beginning to suspect that Sabrina has a bigger impact in your plans than you led me to believe.
And to be fair, he's given her a mission, and she does deserve some information, but that's addressed in the second episode, and I'm going to say too much, so yes.
I was kind of thinking, like, that's kind of ballsy, like, call the devil in and be like, I'm beginning to think you lied to me.
The great deceiver lied to you?
Yeah, I know, right? But like to call your boss in, basically. Say, you misled me. That's kind of ballsy. I don't know.
I mean, I call up my boss on his crappy handwriting at times, but you know, so.
Oh, yeah, but your boss is probably not going to destroy you at any moment.
Not to my knowledge. He actually laughs.
You'll probably take your boss on anyway.
Anyways, yeah, no, that's the episode. Yeah, we're going to get into this. I'll tell you this much. The second episode picks up pretty much right where this conversation is. And if I say anything else, I'm going to ruin it. So, and I want Linda to actually watch it.
Oh, I will. I will. It, you know, I did have a question about, you know what? It's stupid.
Are you worried that if you asked me, it would be a spoiler and I'd just be like, I have to withhold information?
No, it's just, no, it's not a question. I just figured it out and it's kind of stupid, but, you know, there are just certain things about the show that kind of make me roll my eyes a little bit because they're kind of hokey. Like there was, one of the teachers was Lovecraft. I'm like, oh, okay.
I just kind of ignore the names after a while because I'm just like, okay, whatever.
But Sister Jackson is Shirley Jackson. And I'm whatever.
I couldn't remember if they said the name in the first episode, but they say it a lot in the second. So I'm just like, probably shouldn't mention anything. Let's leave it alone. So,
like, I like Shirley Jackson's writing. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, he was racist as fuck, but I like some of, you know, Lovecraft's writing, but still it's like, it's just hokey. Come on.
Sorry. I was just remembering, there's this really great, this is a really great scene in the second South Park video game that they have. And there's actually like a huge Lovecraft reference. And the cops are like into like this Lovecraft idea. And of course, at the time, it's like when they're killing a bunch of black people. And he's going like, there's nothing racist about Lovecraft. And he goes, oh, wait, what? Really? And the guy whispering in his ear, he's like, oh, really? Oh, that bad? Oh my God. Oh shit. That's the scene in this video game. And I just burst into laughter when he says that. And then as it goes on, I'm like, yes, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. What's the name of the cat again? Yeah, no bueno. But yeah, I don't know. That's just going to lead me down like other stuff. And I've just got to shut up. But, I do have to give the sort of naughty dad joke. Now that Ambrose is top boy, does that make Luke
bottom boy?
Oh boy. Anyway.
Oh boy's right.
Oh boy. And I'm of course I don't want you to answer this. But
I'm gonna say it out loud and just have Jane sit there and go like I can't say it.
But as the person who has not watched the future episodes, I am foreseeing ultimately a fight between Ambrose and Luke. But, okay. But yeah, don't tell me. We're just going to have to take this ride.
What was that? I missed the question. Out. Huh? What? Who said that? Lord? Lucifer?
I said, Lilith? What does this have to do with Nicolas Cage?
Nothing. Absolutely everything. Jack shit. Nothing.
But I was asking earlier, like, about her going to Riverdale, because it might be kind of strange, because I know that a lot of the actors in Sabrina have also been in Riverdale, like Agatha was. She was Minerva. So mm-hmm. I'm just curious as to how this is all going to turn out.
Not sure. I mean, you mentioned the Riverdale connection, and I just like the fact that Ambrose was basically created because they just loved his the actor Chance his last name always gets me, like
Perdomo.
He came out to audition for Jughead. They didn't cast him, but they're just like, we really want to use him, and they literally created Ambrose for him.
Oh my God, I love stories like that.
Yeah, I think that's the story. I may be misquoting some stuff, but yeah, my understanding is that Ambrose, I don't think, was even like a character, but they loved his audition so much, they're just like, we got to use this guy in some capacity. We got to use this guy.
That's so cool.
Yeah, no, it's, I love his character. I love his character. It's, I love this show. I do. I really do. Even with all of its problems, I think this show is great. It's such it has such strong female characters and empowerment, and also just deals with issues that we're still currently dealing with today. So,
yeah,
you know, and handles them, I think, with a decent amount of grace and care. And with a lot of seriousness, even in some cases, tongue-in-cheek seriousness. So,
yeah, I get that. And one thing I appreciate about the show is, besides its multicultural like casting, although they don't really have any like Latino like actors. I'm a liar.
Well, you can't really, I don't really know the whole makeup of everybody, so I can't say for certain.
But, besides, like, having such, like people of different backgrounds, they also have, like, younger people in there, and I really appreciate that. Like, Kiernan Shipka, she's not, like, you know, she's not, a little girl, but she's 22 this year. So she's also not like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, 90210 that had a bunch of like 20 somethings playing teenagers. Cause she was actually
a teenager in Sabrina. Yes.
Yeah. When they started it.
And she's 21 right now. I looked it up just to check. She's 21. Yeah. She'll be 22 in a couple of days, but yes.
Yeah. And I loved her in Mad Men. But, when it started, she was, 18 or 19 years old. So, I mean, like, I really appreciate that, you know, actually getting somebody close to the age that's appropriate.
Are you telling me they didn't Evan Hansen it? Sorry.
What's that?
Evan Hansen. Remember the whole Evan Hansen issue with the live-action movie? They use the same actor who plays him on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, 38 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Okay. Sorry. I guess now's the time I should say please. 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 Listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out, and it helps other people find us because it helps boost us up to the top. So, when people are searching for podcasts. And remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook and on Twitter, although you're going to have more luck on Twitter. And I am so sorry. I've been really, really busy, and keeping up on Broomflicks or at Twitter is pretty hard. But I'm trying. So you can get to us at Broomflicks, Broomflicks. You could also write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com and check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflicks.com. There you can also check out my other shows, Cage's Kiss, though we got up to date with my dude's work, although actually that's not necessarily true. We have to go back. But eventually, we are returning eventually. But you can also check out the somewhat new show. Fuck, I think we started in like July or August. So kind of new show.
Linda's losing track of time.
What is time? Lately there's been so much crap going on in my life that I'm just like, wait, what is today? And it's just all kind of bleeding into one. There've been a couple times during the work week where I'm just like, fuck, it's Tuesday. God, it's only Tuesday. You could find me on that amazing podcast that covers specific movie themes, Videorama. Also, you could check me out in the second season of the podcast sitcom Force a Crowd, where I play Mrs. Halverson. And my brother, who is also on Videorama and was on Cage's Kiss and is our editor, he also had some voices in Force a Crowd, too. So check it out. Jane. Oh, yeah, Jane. Jane.
Yes, Jane. Me. Hey,
where the hell are you these days? What are you up to?
I'm busy coating your bacon in white chocolate.
I don't eat bacon.
That's where it's going to be a surprise.
Oh, no!
The worst kind of chocolate combined with one of the cruddiest meats. I said it here. I'm taking a stand against it.
I really like white chocolate.
God, it's not even chocolate. Why? It's just sugar and milk and crap. I think you
just answered the question.
It's just crap.
Yeah, sugar, milk, and crap. It's like mom used to make it.
God, it's gross.
I like
fine, then I'm covering your white chocolate in bacon then just for you. I'm going to ruin something for you.
Haven't you already? No, you haven't. Like, I'm trying to think of... No, you've ruined the future because you're going to make me watch Vampire Diaries.
You have no idea, like, when I'm going to call in that chip. That chip, I promise, listeners, I want to get through Sabrina. And then after Sabrina, that's going to be our next TV show. You have no idea. Honestly, I understand. I understand. I'm going to make a plea to you. In the very beginning, I get the high school drama shit. It's not always the most entertaining. But my God, again, the character development is goddamn impressive with some of these people. You're going to fall in love with some characters, and I'm not going to name them right now, but you're going to be like, okay, I understand why this bitch is doing this, but goddamn, she is awesome. I'm like, yes, you're going to be like this. I know. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, that was a really good character. Linda's going to like this character. There's a reason she's going to like this show. She's going to come back and be like, okay.
It's going to be another Buffy the Vampire Slayer for me.
It's gonna grow on you.
Watch that stupid fucking show. Fuck that.
But you know what? As far as I know, I don't think Julie Plec has any issues with her. With herself. I don't think there's. I don't. As far as I know, I don't think Julie Plec has any issues with, say, treating actors and actresses like shit.
I just watched Joyride last night with Dana Gould and Bobcat Goldthwait, and Dana Gould was talking about the Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers, and he was saying that everybody loved it and everybody was crying and everybody was moved because it was such a powerful movie and it did so well because it was a documentary about a good guy who dealt with so much, like so many trials, and did some wonderful things for people and was a genuinely good person. And that's it. He didn't do anything bad. So it's like, fuck, yes, you're right. Like, oh my God, there's somebody who's amazing, who really is amazing, who didn't rape anybody, and like didn't inappropriately touch somebody, and like
didn't treat somebody like shit, didn't become a drama queen behind the scenes, didn't
get like addicted to drugs or anything. And it's just like, God, like, what does that say about us that we're just like clinging on to anybody we can? Cause we're like, we're so surprised. Cause we're like, he really was a good person. Like, what? Like, it's just such a sad world that this kind of stuff like actually shocks us now. And I blame a lot of that on Bill Cosby.
Honestly, Alfred Hitchcock was supposedly a dick to work with. So.
Oh, he was like, I actually
he was abusive.
Him in college.
Yeah. He was abusive.
Yeah, he was controlling as shit.
Bring it back around. I think that's why a lot of people were really sad when Luke Perry died.
Yeah.
You know,
once again,
people, they had a really, like I said, just. If you're going to watch something that honors him, definitely watch that Riverdale episode, because it is honestly really good. And the fact they bring back Shandor, she's a really just sweet send off. Notice how nobody is bringing back anything for Dustin Diamond. Yeah, see, be a good person and people honor you and love you and remember you.
Well, and it's gotten to like whenever I see like some like beloved actor, celebrity, like male celebrity, like who's trending on Twitter, I'm like, nope, because I'm thinking like either they're dead or we're gonna find out something terrible, and like I don't want any of it. Like, I think that if we find out something terrible about, like, if we find out that Steve Martin is a secret monster, I'm just going to be like, no, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I'm going to a monastery. I'm going to live a life of silence. Fuck this world. I'm done.
Like, you can never be silent.
I know. That's the truth. I'd be like, the whole time. I would have to go live out in the middle of the woods by myself. Well, maybe with some furry companions. But anyway.
Just noping out.
Yes, just nope. But anywho, yeah, I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass. Thank you.
And join us for our next episode. We'll be covering episode 2, because it's starting to feel like each episode's going to take about an hour to discuss. So we're going to do episode 2 of season 2. And this is, yay. Linda's going to like this one. This is going to both make her very sad, but Linda's going to like this one, because this was probably, it didn't get highly rated, but my God, I thought this was a really good show, episode. I like this episode. Sorry.
I saw that it's The Passion of Sabrina Spellman, so I was like, okay. I like the names.
Oh, yeah. No, it will make sense when you see it. But yes, enjoy watching it. Everybody watch it again. I just rewatched it myself and I was like, oh yeah, I remember why I liked this one so much.
I've been so busy like with studying and with work and the other podcast, and like just so crazy busy and trying to like keep up cleaning with my house. But like, this is one show where I'm just like, no, I gotta watch the show now.
You gotta watch this episode.
Like, I don't think of it as work. I'm just like, I need to watch it.
Enjoy. Trust me. You're gonna like the next episode.
Yay.
Okay.
And I guess until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
Is a bottom boy's knob or top boy's knob? Or middle boy's knob?
Everywhere.
Knob.
Second top boy's knob.
on.
Girl's knob.
The knobs line up.